Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God on Wednesday night to fellowship one with another as we explore the Word of God. And I got to be obedient and give God the praise and the honor that he deserves, because God is an awesome God. It is by the power of God and by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that he allows us to assemble together one with another in fellowship in the Word of God. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank God for each and every one of you, because this is God's will, and it's being done. I thank each and every one of you, because there's so many things that you could have been doing. There's so much going around, and there's so much things to do, and things to think about, and things to accomplish, and things to, if we not careful, to worry about. But God is in his creation, his heavens that he created. And God is sitting on his throne. And Jesus, his son, is sitting at his right hand, working all things out together for our good. Do you believe it tonight? Because if you believe it, you can receive it, all of the blessings and everything that God has for us. God is a good God and worthy to be praised. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 42 through 48. And the title of the lesson is, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. And as always, we play a song, and after the song, we come to God's throne of grace in prayer. And I'm going to play this song tonight, and then we'll have prayer, and we'll go into the Word of God.
Is God good, saints? Is God good all the time?
I'm going to not play that record. It seemed like it's not coming too clear. So I'll play this song, and it's called Once in a Lifetime.
To dream of the big stage, couldn't wait to see my name in lights. I had a dream so big, made a mountain look small, couldn't wait till I had it all. Closer I get, the more distant I feel, the more I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. Suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, find a love you know is real. Once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul bleed. Once in a lifetime, find a friendship that's worth the wait. And once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. I used to think that it was the trophies on my wall. Thought if I'd won, then I'd have it all. I couldn't wait till everybody knew my name. I had my own ideas of fame. Closer I get, the more distant I'd feel. The more that I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. And suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, you find a love you can't let go. And once in a lifetime, you find a purpose to live on. Once in a lifetime, you find the meaning of your dreams. And once in a lifetime, you find the one who gives life meaning. Once in a lifetime, you find the love you know is real. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul live. Once in a lifetime, you find a friendship that's worth the wait. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. Oh, once in a lifetime, I found the best thing I know. Once in a lifetime, there's no sign of letting go. I know what I found is true. Though I've searched in every place to find the thing that makes life complete, now I know, Lord, that thing is you.
Yes, the songwriter was saying that, you know, there's so many things in his life that he thought he needed to achieve to be somebody. And everything he had, it didn't satisfy him, and it didn't make him believe that he had achieved until he met his Savior. And that's how it is with most of us. Because there are so many people looking for love in the wrong places, looking for love through things and through material things and through education and through the love of a man or a woman or all types of things, a prestige, come on, y'all, a power. But at the end of the day, without Jesus, it's all like water under the bridge. Till you meet Jesus, your life will never be complete. When God created us, he put a special place in our heart for him. And until that place is full, there will always be a hole. And you will always try to take things, people, places to fill that hole. But I come to tell you tonight, unless you fill it with Jesus, that hole will always be empty and yearning for something. And you'll try this and you'll try that. And you still is not satisfied until you meet your maker. God is a good God and he's worthy to be praised. And God sent his son to save us and to fill our heart. And that's what we need to do in this life. And that's the only way we could guarantee our afterlife in eternity, through the gift that God offers us through the Son of, through the blood of his Son, Jesus. And at this time, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. If anyone would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button and I'll open your mic. God is affording the opportunity. If anyone would love to pray. You know, we live in a world today where so much is going on. And many times you hear things about people, you know, even in your family or your neighbors or your friends or even people on the TV. And sometimes we talk to someone and we tell them, I'm going to pray for you. Or we realize that prayer is the only thing that can make a difference. And you see, that's why we pray, because we know prayer is the keys to unlock the doors. Prayer is us communicating with God and letting him know our concerns, wishes, desires. Prayer is what God has given us to be able to come to him. And the death of his Son allows us to go for ourselves. We don't have to go to the priest in a confession box. We don't have to go to the saint. The different saint statues. But God, through Jesus Christ, made a way. Jesus bridged the gap for us to be able to go to God for ourselves and pray. And we always pray before we go into the lesson, inviting God in. And so that's why at this time we have prayer time. And I just love to invite others to pray, because it's not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of all gifts, the giver of his Son, and the giver of his Spirit. Dear Lord God, I come to you tonight as humble as I know how, as I getting ready to go before your people to study your word. Holy Ghost, I decrease, and I ask that you increase. Holy Ghost, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Holy Ghost, I pray that the ears of the people that's on the line is open, dear God, and that you penetrate their heart, dear God, that the word that keep it and hide it in their heart and meditate on it day and night. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for everyone that has come on the line. I ask that you bless them, dear God, and the blessings that they're in need of, them, their families, their surroundings. Bless their homes, dear God. Bless their finances. Bless their health. Hallelujah. Bless them and all the blessings that is necessary for them to live a righteous life. God, and we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because you're worthy. And God, we say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And thank God. Well, again, I'll say the title of our lesson is, To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. We coming from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, the 42nd through the 48th verse. When you look at that title, which is really scriptural, it has a lot of meaning in it. I hope that we already realize everything we have was given to us by God. The Bible said the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwells therein belongs to God. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's God who operates the sun and the sky and the moon at night. It's God. It's God that watch over us, protect us from danger seen and unseen. So everything we have, the scriptures say God is the giver of every perfect gift. Everything we have, our talents, our time, our resources, it's all from God. So when the scripture title says, to whom much is given, much is required. And you have to look at this and say, how is it given? It's given by God, who owns it all. And he gives it to us. But it goes back and say, to whom much is given, much is required. So I want you to look at that and keep that in mind tonight, because we often wonder why so much is asked of a certain individual and not others. Many times it's because that individual have much and not just money or things, but it's wisdom. It's a soft heart and gentleness. And people tend to gravitate to those type of people. So I'll do a little background tonight on Luke. Luke is the writer of the book of the Bible according to Luke, and also the book of Acts. Luke did more writing than anyone in the Bible, include in the New Testament. More than Paul. Paul wrote 13 books, but the amount of material written in all of his 13 books does not amount to the writings in Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, and the book of Acts. It's amazing that if you ask people a question to name the 12 disciples, they always start off with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I've come to tell you tonight that Luke was not an apostle. Before Christ's death, Luke was not even a follower of Christ. Luke was a physician. He was Paul's physician, and he traveled with Paul. Luke never met Jesus personally because he wasn't seeking what Jesus had to say at that time. For whatever the reason, a lot of people believe that he's a Jew, that he's not a Jew. The Bible doesn't clearly state it. But by not being a Jew, he would have been practicing Judaism, and Judaism don't have a place for Jesus Christ in their teaching. And many believe that he was a Gentile. Because when Paul introduced him, he said, my beloved physician, he said, not of the circumcision. They used to say circumcisions for Jews because that was a part of the law. And many times if there was a Christian, Paul would call them brothers. But he called Luke my beloved physician. And that's why plenty of people think he was a Gentile. Now, I don't have enough proof to say if he was a Gentile or was he a Jew. And sometimes we spend time beating a dead horse about a question like that. But I believe, and I say it I, that it's a possibility that he was a Gentile. And if he was a Gentile, to me, it would match God's character. Because God is inclusive and he has no respect to person. And the gospel writers the gospel writers were Jews. And God wanted to track all of the audience. So to put a Gentile writer in there, to me, is how God likely might have operated. So to conclude what I said so it don't be confused, I don't know if Luke was truly a Gentile or he was a Jew. But I know once he met and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was never the same. And I don't know if he was a Jew or if he was a Gentile, but he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and he became a Christian. Hallelujah. And that's enough for me to know about him when I read his writing. You see, Luke was a physician, See, if you really study the Gospels, you're going to see that each Gospel writer was writing to an audience. See, God's going to put it where it could be more familiar to you so you could get it. They're going to speak of things that they're familiar with and their audience is familiar with at that time. You know, one book was written to the Romans, one was written to the Greeks. You know, it's the audience that they're writing to. And, of course, if Luke was a Gentile, he was writing to the Gentile audience. Another reason God used Luke to write the gospel, and we see that Luke always go with Jesus and his birth, because God is steadily trying to teach us that God and Jesus is one. Jesus was fully man and fully God. And how more perfect can you get that point across than by using a physician? You know, you need sometimes the way that Luke could tell it to you to believe it, because it's coming from a physician who knows the human anatomy. And Luke, in his writing, proves to us that Jesus was fully man and yet fully God. So when we think about Luke, you know, Luke gave up a lot, and Luke was in prestigious position. He was a scholar. He was a scientist. He was a doctor. And he gave it up, you see. When God has plans for us, he has a way of changing our direction. And that's what happened with Luke. So it's amazing when we look at the character of people and the way that they lived their lives. You know, he was a companion to Paul. It was after Paul was persecuting the Christians, after Jesus had met Paul on the road to Damascus. You see, and when Paul met Jesus, his life changed forever. The things he was doing, he understood that he was doing it, but it was a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge, and he changed. And Luke, being who he was, that believed in science and everything like that, by going around with Paul and staying under hearing him talk and hearing the other disciples, Luke's life was never the same. So the question I ask, or the question that could be asked to each and every one of us individually, since we met Jesus, have our life been changed forever? And that's a little bit on Luke. But we're going to go into the scriptures, verse 42 through 48 is the verses we're going to expound on. And verse 42 says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" And 43 says, "Blessed is the servant whom when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." And verse 44, "Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has." Now, when we read this, it's sort of like a parable, and it's a great analogy using the servant and the wise servant and the faithful servant. You see, what this scripture is telling us, that Jesus is coming back, telling us that we should be conscious of how We want Jesus to find us when he returns. We will be faithful and wise stewards. He said, because it is, he's got great rewards for you. Will he find you doing what is right? He said that if the master, which is Jesus, find you on his return, doing and being faithful and wise, he have rewards for you. You see, Jesus was asked questions, and he came in with this parable of a wise servant. See, Jesus was asked questions about the afterlife. You know, some people, they had a man in the above scriptures that wanted Jesus to settle inheritance affairs. Jesus said, I don't have anything to do with that. So they was asking him all of these questions, and he used these scriptures that I just read to make his point across. And he's telling them, when the master returns and finds the faithful servant managing his resources well, he put him in charge of all his possessions. Talking about us, y'all. Are we doing what God has asked us to do? So I come to tell you tonight, if you want more, you should do more. If you want more, you should do more. You see, our timing is not God's timing. We have to wait on the Lord. But this is the thing. We have been entrusted with certain things. You got to remember, Jesus was here with us on earth. He ascended back in heaven to prepare a place for us. And he left us here. And he left his spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, everything we have, because the earth is the Lord, belongs to Jesus, belongs to God. It's almost like Jesus is the proprietor of this world, and we are the tenants. You see, we are stewards, and a steward is one that manages something that belongs to someone else. We got to realize everything we have has been given to us by God. And he gave it to us, y'all, to be a faithful until Jesus returned so that this world could operate. Since we had to be in the world but not of the world, and God allows his kingdom to come on earth for us to live in a spiritual realm, and that's why many times they say, we have to be building the kingdom. So let's take it and look at the kingdom that God have all believers operating in this world. God wanted to make sure this kingdom operates smoothly. He really designed it where there would be no lack, because the ones who have will share with the ones who have not. But you know, that's not the way people heart is, even Christians. But God provided everything that system could work. But people are just not joining in with the master plan that God has given us. You see, and then that's why God allowed the time, 24 hours in a day, and he gave us talent, and he gave us resources, money, or whatever. Because he come back, and when he come back, he want to give us an account. He want us to give an account on what we did with what he had given us. Remember the parable of the talent. That servant, that master gave his servants talent, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And he told them to work with him until he come back. And when he came back, he expected to see what they had done with it. You see, because let me tell you this. and everybody could evaluate themselves. God, a return on his investment. God expects a return on his investment. You see, God promised us rewards, but I want you to know that all of the rewards are not immediate, and it may not be material. Because if God did it that way, you know, we would be tempted to boast about our achievements, and we would only do good towards God to get. And God, Jesus, is telling us, just keep doing good. All rewards will not be achieved on this side, but they will be waiting for you in eternity. That's why the old people used to say, I'm sending up my timber for my home over there. And many of them would say, I'm working towards the Jews for my crown that I would have over there. And you see, even with the things that we do, and you see, if I tell you you're going to have reward there, how would you get them and what would it be judged by? But the Bible teaches us that only those things you do for Christ is going to last. So the things you do for Christ is going to travel with you, because everything we know as of this world is going to burn up with a fervent heat. When you die, you cannot put your house in the ground. You can't take your fine clothes or your fine cars. You can't even take the money out of the bank. But oh, what those things you've done for Christ, it's going to come along with you. Or they may be already in heaven and it just shower on you when you get there. Only those things done for Christ is going to last. So if you're building up only earthly treasures, you're going to go to heaven empty-handed. You're going to go to heaven, but you're going to go empty-handed. So you might say, Sister Diane, what are the things of Christ? Or what are the things that's going to last? How you treat one another. How you shared what you had with others. We got to remember, everything we have is not just for us. Don't you ever get it twisted. And you might think that only rich people have something to give, but that is not the case. Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. When I was outdoors, you didn't take me in. They say, Lord, when did I do that to you? He said, what you do to the least of mine, it's also done to me. In verse 45 says, but and if the servant say in his heart, my Lord, delay is coming, and she began to beat the men servants and maid servants and eat, drink, and be drunken. You see, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him into sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. It's saying, it's almost like when I ask the question, I'm saved, now what? If you are saved, truly saved, your master is gone. But he promised that he's coming back. We don't know the day, we don't know the time, and we don't know the hour. But he's coming back. He said, what you going to be doing in that time while your master is gone? That's like, what are we doing now? Are we truly loving the Lord with all our heart, our soul, and our mind? And do we love our neighbors as ourselves? Or are we just, and really what it was talking about when they say, will they find the servant the man serving of the maiden, that's men and women, just eating and drinking and being drunk, dealing only in folly, dealing only with the issues of the world. Because when Jesus saved us, he sanctified us, which made he set us apart. So if we just doing everything any kind of way, or doing whatever seeming right in our own eyes, then we are just like unbelievers. Come on, y'all, let's look at it for a little while. All of us, I could imagine, know somebody that all they do is worldly. They got to do this. They got to go here. They got to do that. They got to be in everything concerned in the world. Y'all see all them people out there for the second line, and I'm not criticizing the second line, but baby, they're going to make sure they're going to be there, and they're going to walk the street, and they're going to eat and drink and be merry. God said in the book many times, but God said that people, when God come back, he's going to find people like it was in the day of Noah. You see, Noah was trying to tell a people that it was going to rain and flood, but the people was going around doing their own business, eating, just like the scripture, drinking, being merry, getting drunk, having a good time, living their best life. And that's how so many people in the world is today. But this scripture is letting us know Jesus is coming back. And if it's important to you how your master find you, and not find you at that very moment, but have a record of what you're doing in your time since you were saved. If it's important to you, then we would try to do things that would please him. You see, that servant knew he was coming back, but you know what he was doing? He was putting off until tomorrow what he should have done today. You see, many of the unsaved believe that they have time to get saved. Y'all know that? I ain't finished with my fun, they say. I don't want to accept Jesus right now because it's too hard. Then I ain't going to be able to do this, and I ain't going to be able to do that. But they just don't know. You know, they think that they won't be able to have fun or enjoy themselves. But that is just not so. That's the trick of the devil. You see, so many Christians know what they should be doing and don't feel as if and feel as if they have more time to get it right. So even then, they might be having one foot in the world and one foot with God and doing some things maybe they shouldn't, and then they figure they have time to get it right. God's timing is not our time, and we do not know when Jesus is coming back. So the time is right now, because once Jesus come back, if you didn't accept him, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell, because you got to do it while the blood is running warm in your veins. And then some people will say, well, the people in the old days, believe he was coming back. And that's so true. I can remember right now, I can't remember too many things about my mother, but I can remember my mother standing in that kitchen telling us the same thing we tell our children. Y'all, not like we were. These children today, now I'm talking in the 60s, because it seemed so appalled to her how the world had began to evolve. And all of us know it ain't nothing like compared to today, but it was still more than they was used to. And what these children doing today is more than the elderly is used to. So could you imagine the next generation? Because it's going to escalate. It's not going to deflate. I guarantee you that. You see, we have to serve God. You can't go around if you acting like you could control time, saying to yourself, I have time to change. The time is now. Today is now. If you're not ready to serve others with what God has given you, then really and truly God can't use you. And let me tell you this about somebody having more, to whom much is given, much is required. You know why God gives some people so much? Because he knows their heart. And some people, if he say, why would I give them extra when they're not going to share it? They're going to be with that me, myself, and I. Why would God give people talents to do things when he know they're going to set on them? Why would God give us spiritual things some people if he know you're not going to use it to build the kingdom? Everything we have, y'all, first of all, you have to really, really understand that we are only stewards. Everything we have has been given to us by God to manage, to share with one another until he come back. Everything. And the last verse is said in 47 and 48. And the servants which know his Lord's will and prepare not himself, neither did according to the will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And what's that saying? They're saying, if you know better, you should do better. You're going to be held at a higher esteem than maybe somebody who doesn't know. But there's no excuse for not knowing, because just like we found the word and accepted Christ, they had the opportunity to do so as well. But those who wear their chests out saying they love the Lord and they know God and they could quote the Bible and they go to church and they do all of these things. If you know more, you're going to be accountable for more. That's why to whom much is given, much is required. And the much is not just material things, y'all. The much is spiritual enlightenment, the ability to teach the word of God, the ability to pray, the ability to teach the word of God. You know, he has given some the ability to be a evangelist and a missionary. God said before Jesus come back that every part of the world would have heard the gospel. And the only way that that could happen is when missionaries goes into those places, some of them, and they bring the word of God. You see, he gave them that. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We all have been given. And we have to, if just imagine if everybody played a little part. I didn't say a big part, a little part, with helping our brothers and sisters, for praying for the sick, for studying the word of God, then sharing it with someone to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in this dark, evil, wicked world. That was a great commission that God gave us. Hallelujah. That we go ye therefore into all of the nations and and share the word of God. And I'm surely not taking inventory, and I surely can't see even by signs of hands. But when was the last time you shared the word of God? We all have to evaluate ourselves. And sharing the word of God, you do not have to know all 66 books. Hallelujah. You do not have to know what Paul or Timothy said. But everybody have an experience if they are saved and met Jesus Christ to know something that God has done for them. And all you have to do is share that. And you don't have to think about if I share a word and they don't accept Christ. Well, God didn't tell you you had to save them, number one. God didn't tell you you got to give it to them and they got to accept or it don't come for you, number two. He said, share the word of God and keep it moving. And we could ask ourselves, and I didn't say you, we could ask ourselves, when was the last time we shared the word of God with anyone? Which is our reasonable service? Which is our reasonable service? He said, but those who know better and don't do it will get many more stripes. God said, I gave you the ability to teach. You was teaching at the University of Higher Education. So I know you have teaching skills. So what about if you'd have studied my word and been able to teach that at a little bitty church Bible study or something? You use what God gave you the way you want to use it, but do you use any of it for him? The scripture goes on, and it's the last verse, verse 48. They said, but he that know not and did commit things unworthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. You didn't know. So that's why some people say it's better to not know than to know and then don't do it. And the scripture goes on and says this, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And to whom men have committed such, of him they will ask more. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, that's a saying that, you know, sometimes they have people in the family where everybody come to, and sometimes they get really upset to want to know why me, why me, why me. Well, because it's obvious to them that you have much. And I'm not just talking about money, because sometimes they come to ask you questions about Social Security, income taxes, they actually tax problems, things about property. It's knowledge. It's not just material. It's not just money. Figure you have sound reasoning advice. And if you do have it, I come to tell you it came from God. And to whom much is given from God, much is required of them to be used in the kingdom. The idea of to whom much is given, much is required, is that we are held responsible for what we have. If you are blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, and the like, it is expected that we use these well to glorify God and to benefit others. Jesus has told us to live until he comes. And we must watch how we watch, and we must work diligently and obey his command. You see, the more resources, talents, and understanding we have, the more we are responsible to use effectively. God will not hold us responsible for gifts that he hasn't given us. That's amazing. God is an awesome God. He's not going to expect you to go evangelize in South Africa. He didn't give you that. He probably won't even ask you to go on the corner down the street from your house if he didn't give you that. But God will provide opportunities in all of our lives where we would have an opportunity to tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ. All of us have enough gifts and talents to keep us busy until Jesus come back. I guarantee you that. It's to put it in a nutshell. Jesus wants us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And in doing that, he has given us, some of us, more than he gave others. But to make it be balanced, when we began to look out for one another, you know, it just would be so much better. But everybody for themselves in the world we live today. They don't want to share. They don't want to care. They don't want to serve. They don't want to help. They just want to be to themselves. God gives us resources. As encouragement for us to do his will. Isn't that amazing? God got all of these things for us to do, but he supplies us with the provisions to be able to do what he wants us to do. Now, what God is asking you to share or to care or encourage or teach others, he already gave that to you. He gave that to you. See, and I think plenty of people don't understand what they got, where it came from. And we need to be asking God for wisdom on how to use those resources and commit ourselves to expending them according to his will so that he may be glorified. And I'll tell you even about giving. There are certain people that have a gift for giving. In other words, they give and they give and they give and they give and they give. And they give and they give and they give and they give. See, God has given them that gift to do that. So God don't expect everybody to be like that. But he expects everybody to give something sometime. Paul said in Romans 12, 6 and 8, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. The scripture says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according with your faith, in according with your faith to the level you can prophesy. They might know more things than others. But if you got it, prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, everybody could encourage somebody. That don't cost you nothing. Then give encouragement. And if it's given, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, come on, y'all, do it cheerfully. This is simple, responsible stewardship, which should be our reasonable service. We have been given much, and God desires for us to use what he has given us to further his kingdom and to proclaim his glory. It's what we were created to do. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and after he told them this parable, he tell them, whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. What they say, Jesus didn't bear the cross alone for all the world to go free. There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. For the Son of Man will reward each person according to what they have done. You see, in Romans, they tell us about being a living sacrifice, giving the things God has given to us, and service is where we actually find life. God is the giver of all good things. And this, I just want to say this, and I'm going to end for the night. You got to remember, freely you have received, so freely you should give. Freely. When God sent his son and let him die and Jesus paid the price, you didn't pay for that. You got that free. The grace that God is bestowing us, the grace that gives us everything we don't deserve, you didn't pay for that. Whatever we have, God gave it to us. Freely we have received, and freely you should give, because to whomever much is given, the word of God lets us know that much will be required. And that's the lesson for today, tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Anyone would like to do a benediction? I just want to thank everyone for coming on the line and sharing with one another tonight. And I just want you to remember, God owns everything. Everything we have belongs to God. Why you think you can't take it with you when you die? Have you ever thought about that? You take nothing with you when you die. It stays and someone else gets to use it. And when it's all said and done before the great judgment, everything on this earth that's still here is going to burn up with a fervent heat. You can't take it with you. That's not the way God designed it. And whatever God gives us, he wants us to realize that everything we have is not just for us. In a benediction tonight, I'm going to use my favorite benediction. No, I'll say another one tonight. So I'm coming from Ephesians 6:24. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Ephesians 6:24. And that's the lesson for tonight. God be with you until we meet again. And if it's your desire and the will of God, we'll meet back on Wednesday. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us go in peace and the love of God. Good night.